Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
So you messed me up because you said we're going to go away for 10 minutes, right? We had a little chat about the podcast. And then you said we're going to be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I went to the kitchen. I've got my saga and my bread roll now. And now I'm eating on the podcast, which is unprofessional. So apologies, everybody.
But that was 10. What, you were going to plan to have your dinner in between in a little 10 minute gap? What are you doing?
Saga and a bread roll. That's a starter. It's a moose bouche. It's a palate cleanser.
Yeah, but why has this not all been ready before?
What? Why is it not ready before? Sorry, Mrs. Sandu. What's my view?
Well, I mean, you know, this
it's bank holiday weekend. I've just come home. Yeah. I've warmed up. I made saag, by the way, 2 days ago, and it's banging.
Oh, wow.
I wish we were doing this podcast in the flesh because I would want you to try it.
Well, let's put it this way. At least we're doing a podcast this week.
And to be fair, do you know what? I've got to agree with Kedge there. Why are you eating when the podcast? That we say this about him every week.
This has been planned in advance. You knew what time it was.
I'm disappointed is the word.
Are you serious, Ash? Hold on one second. Let me take the knife that you stuck in my back out, right?
No.
I
stuck it in the front because you should know.
Man, I can't believe you, Sash.
Hold on, let me just get my popcorn. This is brilliant.
I tell you why this is out of order, and I'm. You know what I'm doing
what? It's not out of order.
I'm trying to eyeball Satch. He's looking
his
down.
His eyeballs have gone big. Kedge has gone halfway through the popcorn. This is getting excited.
Right, let me tell you this. What am I eating, Satch? Bread roll and saag. It's the food of ninjas. A ninja could eat this food and still.
No, it doesn't matter because we can still. Ha ha ha! I'm eating a bread roll.
I'm not doing a ha ha humming. You're comparing me to him.
This is good.
I think I think it's just, you know, 1 week we don't do a podcast and all the rules have gone out the window. You can do what you want. Do you know what I mean? It's not good enough. Here we go. He's eating and he can't talk right now. I'm just going to say it.
He can't talk. Yeah.
He can't talk.
He's got away from
you. If you hadn't said that, no one would have known because I'm not making a noise.
No, I said it on purpose.
Well, there's a lot of tension brewing in here. There's a lot of tension brewing.
I don't know what his issue is. Look, you know what? I think it is. You're doing what my kids do and what my wife does. When we haven't seen each other for a week, or we, you know, like we haven't spent enough time together.
No, me
and my wife argue.
No.
Always argue when we haven't seen each other for a few days, because you just get like, she's alone with the kids or I'm alone with the kids and the other one's feeling the tension, and then all of a sudden you're just a bit ratty and a bit off with each other. So that's what Sachin's doing now.
Last week we didn't do a podcast, and can I just say, in the 200 and however many odd episodes we've done of the Brownlow, that week my phone, that Thursday, my phone was popping off like it was my birthday.
Honestly, it felt like it was my birthday, because I've never had that many messages in my life. So this is what normal people feel like when it's their birthday. Because I don't know what messages me.
Just to make it clear, were they messaging you or they're messaging the Brownlow?
No, they were messaging the Brownlow. And every time I'd go and check
there were so many
messages.
I think this is interesting because the brown loaders out there, the listeners, they know Satch is technical operations, right? He's had all things technical, microphones. He's got the DJ ear, right? Kedge is a producer, kind of oversees it, brings everything together. And obviously me, I'm just the looks. So what's happened here is people have messaged Satch directly because they want to just get an answer. Like, hey, technical operations, what's going on?
Hey, straight to HR.
You get the messages via the brown load. And guess what? I got no messages. And I should be, oh, no one messaged. Because the obviously going, he's useless. He don't know what's going on.
Right?
Yeah. Let's just focus on the boys that do the work. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of summed it up. And to be fair, I took it one step further. And on my own Instagram, I put a poll out. And I thought, right, you know, I was like, firstly, I was like, sorry, no brown load this week.
Yeah.
Then I was like, who flopped it? And the options were Kedge, Tommy, or both of them. And can I say, Kedge won with flying colours.
Why is it always me?
65-odd%. And then I think both of them was second place. With like sort of 25%. And then Tommy, you got a few, but not many.
Just call me Mario Kedgetelli. Why always me? Do you know what I mean?
Because but you are actually, it probably was you, wasn't it? Well, Satch, tell them the truth then. Why didn't we do a podcast last week?
Well, it was both of you. You were both just busy. I was sitting there, twiddling my thumbs.
Well, you were twiddling your thumbs, but I mean, look, at the end of the day, I am, as you know, I am part of the radio fraternity in the UK. And so as sort of one of very few Desis, I had to go and represent at the Radio Academy Awards.
No, Kedge, there is lots of Desis in radio. They're just not as good as you. That's what it is.
I didn't say that. Well, but what I'm saying is that, you know, I had to be there.
I'd say they're better.
there was not one Asian winner. Of all those awards, I just thought I'd say that.
What awards? These are the ARIAs, right?
Yeah, the ARIAs, the Audio Radio Academy Awards. This is the Oscars of radio.
You missed the I out. You missed the I. It's ARIAS. Audio radio. This is how good Kedge is. He doesn't even know what he's in an award show for. What's the stand for, Kedge?
I don't even think it's
Audio Radio Industry Awards.
International industry. Yeah, that's it.
Who made him a judge? He doesn't even.
So you were judging it. What were you judging,
I'm
by the way?
Judge. This year I was judging the best innovation idea. And oh my god, brilliant! No, nothing that was Asian that was entered in that into that category. But it was a brilliant, category. And the thing that won was, can we talk about it? Does anyone care?
No,
a little bit. Go on, if you're quick.
Well, the thing that won was Fun Radio, and they had the idea of sending a message, a radio show into space that will live forever, and it was genius. It was brilliant the way they did it.
Okay.
Like You had to hear it.
You know, sometimes when we were at the BBC and they'd go, oh, guess what? There's a group of people that do Bollywood songs, but they play them on spoons and patile, right? Yeah. And you go, all right, let's go check it out. And you go, what are we doing here? I hate my life. This is such a bad idea. But that sounds like one of those ones that, oh, we're going to send a radio show into space.
Who cares?
It was the way they engaged children.
It was the way they engaged children, and they basically did it so it will always fly. It's the first bit of sound that's flying in the sky. It's the first time it's ever been done as well.
Okay, yeah, honestly, so, yeah, you know what, you're right, we shouldn't have done the story. So we'll move on. It's also been the coronation weekend, isn't it? It's the coronation weekend. How did you celebrate King Charles coming into the throne?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. For me, it was I saw the hype, obviously, in central London, because I saw the flags and everything, you know, draped up, you know, across the streets and everything like that. In London, if you'd been around, you know, Oxford Street and all of that kind of thing, the Strand, they were all there. But in the morning, it was like, oh, here we go. There's something happening, you know, because the telly was on early. There were cameras were on. People were out and about. Things were happening. Like the horses were out. Soldiers were walking. I thought, oh, here we go. There's some. I kind of got sort of sucked into it when I didn't really want to be sucked into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I kind of just thought, hold on a minute. I've been standing here by the door waiting to go to the kitchen, holding my coffee mug for the last half an hour.
Yeah.
So really? I kind of got sucked in. Yeah, I became a bit of a Carolean sort of fan.
Were you able to follow it, Satch, from Dubai?
Yeah, so, I mean, I did follow it and I watched quite a lot of it, but...
Firstly, can I just say, Sam, that's a disgrace. That is a disgrace.
Why? What's the disgrace?
That we are having the king's coronation, the first one and probably only one, maybe, I don't know, in your life. And you right. decided to, oh, I'm just going to go for a jolly to Dubai. Do you know what I mean? Well, this is where the country needed you.
No,
you, this is the patriotic...
By the way, I just picked up on the fact that Kedge just worked out that you're going to die before King Charles. So that's basically, he went, probably no, you're no, only one in your life.
Exactly.
I'm hoping you outlive King Charles.
I realized when I said that, you know, William is just around the corner. So it's all right. It's all right. He's
exactly. Now you're wishing the king to die.
I'm going to put it out there. Last weekend was a bank holiday weekend.
Yeah.
You know how busy my bank holiday weekends are. Both of you do. And yeah. I think I did about 8 gigs in 3 days or something like that. So it was a killer. So if King Charles just generally pulls out a date and says, right, I'm just going to whack my coronation in here and you know, give it a bank holiday.
It was done
about 5 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My calendar's booked about a year in advance, really. Yeah. So if you're going to put in
Vishal and Rita booked their date in 2022
exactly.
in the summer.
So if you're if King Charles is then, you know, throwing in a last minute occasion there, and I've got no work on that weekend, I'm going away on holiday.
Yeah,
honestly, do you know what I mean? I can't believe booked it from about 5 months ago. So
do you slightly feel like you let the country down a little?
No, number one, look, I'm going to say, I watched it yesterday. It was on TV over here. We were watching it on BBC One here as well. So it's not like we've got some, you know, Arabic version of it. We've got
Arabic feet.
It wasn't like that. I saw what you saw. And can I just say, the whole thing was just underwhelming. It did not interest me one bit.
Okay, so that's funny. Okay.
To the point where... There was a game on at 3 o'clock. I switched over to football.
Oh, man. Wow. Once in a lifetime event.
It was done by the time the football started.
Yeah, but no, there was loads of other stuff going on afterwards. I didn't want to watch it. It was boring. I think it was, do you know what? If the Royals actually, you know, wanted to do something, update your whole sort of thing a bit, because it's boring. No one's got time for that. And as you said, people were there from 8 in the morning or something to 2 o'clock. What for? It's longer than the Indian wedding. It's longer than the Indian wedding.
It was very long, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there was a lot of milling around.
And think about it. Imagine if you were invited to that. I'm sorry, I'd decline after that. So if I get invited to William's one, I'm saying no.
You're not going to be invited now. Because they're looking at the past.
No, but it's cool. I'm just putting it out there.
I'll give you a little insight, though.
I don't want to go.
Someone I know someone who was invited. And so I won't say no names. But they said they had to be there from 7 a.m.
Katy Perry.
I don't know anyone who knows Katy Perry. I wish I did.
Did you see she was looking for a seat for ages? She didn't know where to
was
sit.
Oh, was she? She lost.
So many people didn't know where they were sitting. Like, it was a desi wedding, wasn't it? No one knew where to sit. Like,
they needed extra tables pulling out from the
corner. People not going in the wrong spaces and everything. It was proper desi wedding.
That was one of the things that they said. The feedback I got from someone who was there was that it was chaos. You couldn't go to the toilet. Once you took your seats, you couldn't then get out the seat. Wow. When Ant and Dec got up to go for a wee, and they were allowed to for some reason, it got a round of applause from everyone. It was like, hey, they're going for a wee together, right? And so it was all just... It was apparently bonkers, and you were there, sat there for a long time. It was all very uncomfortable, and people weren't very happy. There was no snacks or drinks or anything like that.
Yeah,
so you're
no
right.
snacks.
Long. But you know,
and also, hold on a minute. So does the cathedral, does that have a toilet? What is the weeing situation there?
They did explain it. They said the toilets were in like another section, but you couldn't get to it. Yeah. You had to go
in a certain
way.
It's probably just a rental loo outside, isn't it? Round the back door.
Yeah. Like a port cabin sort of thing.
But what I will say is, it's okay in my mind that it was a long ceremony. This is the coronation of a king, right?
Hear me out,
right? All last week, I was in Glasgow. The reason why I missed the podcast, I was in Glasgow for 2 days, then I was in Brighton for 2 days, and I've been in Bradford for 2 days. So out of the last week, I've been non-existent. Honestly, I've got to put in the time with the wife and the kids big time, because she ain't happy. But that's a whole other thing. So
that's another podcast series.
Huh?
That's another podcast series.
Yeah, because she's in the other room. So if she hears me say this, then she'll use that back on me and say, you've obviously... Hold on one second, she's walking in. You okay, babe? Oh, it's my water.
At that moment.
Literally, at that moment.
Bunch of girls, so lot.
Yeah, that's right. Say hi to Captain Thatcher.
Hi.
There you go.
Right, okay, thank you. That was an angry
hug. How about that for timing?
That was an angry
hug. I was whispering so she didn't hear, and then he got busted.
She yeah,
I tell you, they hear everything. They're there all the time. I tell you, they know what's going on. Anyway, so last week I was away a lot. So, but what I mean by that is I got a sense of the size of the coronation. It's like I was in Brighton, all of the pier, all the flags, bunting, this, that, you know, that's up. In Bradford, it's up. All across the town, it's up. You know, all around the country. So it felt like a big event. But I watched the coronation on the train to Bradford on my phone with my headphones. That's on my Jack Jones. They were giving out crowns to everyone on the train.
Kedge, can are you going to tell him off? Because I'm sorry, but what kind of actor? At least I watched it on the TV, I'm in another country.
I mean, this guy's just watching this.
Yeah, but there was two guys over from Pakistan, Kefi Khalil and Shay Gill. They from the Coke Studios. They didn't know what day it was that they were getting booked on. So it's their concert. I was hosting their concert in Bradford.
There you
and,
go.
You know, got down with a bit of Pasuri.
You were working on the decor. Honestly, guys.
Yeah.
This is.
To be fair, if I was back at home, I'd have been working as well. But I'm not. So, you know, I'm away.
Unless you're working for the NHS, Tommy, there's no excuse. I'm sorry. You should have, as a man of the Bhagwan, should have gone, no, I'm not working today. Because I'm there to be there for my Raja and the future. You
Tommy,
know, what a moment.
I'm sorry. Tommy, you've done the right thing because King Charles ain't giving you that paycheck that you just got from hosting that concert.
To be fair, it was a big gig. And so all the money that Tommy had paid for Charles to do that coronation, Tommy was earning it back straight away.
100%. I'm with you. Gang work, mate, honestly.
I was going to say that there was during the ceremony as well, there was a lot of things. Like I saw a lot of chewing gum business, which I thought was a little bit rude. Where the man, you can't be in there in the cathedral chewing gum. It's not a sports game. It's not a basketball game.
There was just people.
Everyone who was just there. Yes. There was a lot of people who were chewing gum. Yeah, the guests were just sitting there because I get it. You said there were no snacks, kana kuna. There was none of that. So I guess maybe the mouth got dry. Because what about Barney? Like my dad said, he goes, I couldn't have gone because he goes, I need to drink water and I have to go to the toilet every like half hour. He goes, so I wouldn't ever have gone. And I was like, my God, it was quite intense that you had to just sit there. And can I just say, the kids, there is no messy kid, I can tell you now, that would have been able to sit there like George and what's her name? Charlotte. My God.
Yeah.
They not a they phone must have sedated them. Not an iPad, nothing, none of this like pulling on their mum's dress or anything like that. They just sat there for 8 hours. There is no messy kid who can do that.
I did see George yawning a few times and he thought, what am I doing here?
Yawning, that's it. There was no tantrum. There was no, oh, mum, I need a cheese string. There was none of that. Oh, mum,
that's because they're going to get beheaded.
Yeah. Or I'm going to promise they're going to get him the new game or get him a new something or another.
New game. They're going to buy him a new private jet, mate. What are you on about?
Yeah, maybe.
But even then, at that age, I thought that was brilliant. And the thing, you know, like you were saying about that one sort of bit of trivia that you got, the thing that I was intrigued about was that when he put on the one glove, the Michael Jackson glove, and what that was about. Because that was bugging me. Why only the one glove?
So I looked into that. Well, actually, no, the story pinged up on my phone, actually. So... and I didn't see the glove moment because, I was watching on the train. I saw that moment. And it was that glove is used to hold the scepter. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. The round thing. The same glove.
You know, can I just say, sorry, when we are there, just in between this, it's a very desi ceremony, isn't it? Because that was like, hold it. That's like holding the coconut, I thought.
Like
in Sikhism, they pay respect to the talwar and the sword. And I thought it was a lot of desi. It was just a desi whole ceremony, wasn't it?
I think there's a lot about whenever anyone's in gowns and all that long gear, and even Camilla's suit and stuff. They're like, that's a bit desi. Well, his gown was a bit desi.
It was all desi. There was multiple bandits doing ceremonies.
There was a Bagwala Singh who got up, you know.
Oh, like, I got well excited. When the Bug Wallace thing came out to give out that thing, I was like, oh, yes. Hey, get
one of our own.
Yeah, exactly. And then we saw the singing sing in the choir again. He's still there, in the top league choir. I thought, man's rolling still in the Premier League.
And he's got to now know that he went viral from the last one, right?
Yeah.
That was being kicked around. Anyway, but look, you're right. So the glove is a tradition so that you don't touch the scepter with your raw hands, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same glove that was the previous king's. So it's passed down. Like, and they actually said, oh, it's for sustainability. But I'm like, one glove? Sustainable? I'm like, no, it should be like
that. It was his grandfather's, George the Sixth, who wore it last.
Which is amazing.
So and it's a male glove. Now. So the Queen didn't wear it.
A glove. You know, if it was in my house, it'd be like, oh, with a glove, a kitty, a glove, and he loved it.
Exactly.
I'll put just it in that drawer. It's in the attic. Oh, it's in the box at the back.
Pulled out my weeds in the garden with that glove.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you said something else. But yeah, the weed with the garden. Weed in the garden.
Weeds in the garden,
It might be a smoking glove, so his fingers don't smell. I don't know.
Like, can I just say, I'd have been more impressed if it was Michael Jackson's glove.
Yeah, I think it needed a bit of glitter, didn't it? It needed a bit of jewelage.
When I saw it, I was like, come on, you could have got a better glove.
If I can quickly just add something in here, this is a bit of an early things I learned here. And that is, I was just at a street party just now, right? Because I came back from Bradford, when I met the missus. The missus is at the cousin's house. They were having a street party, actually South London, around the corner from you, Satch.
I know. I saw your video that you posted and I knew exactly where you were. And I was like, this guy's round the corner from why is he having a street party in my area? It's so random.
Because I went and saw the rallies there, in fact, Mrs. Rallies. But I started chatting to some old boy in the street, right? And he went, and somehow we got to the glove. And he went, and I went, oh yeah, I heard the glove. It's a tradition. It's passed down over the generations. And he went, forget the glove. What do you know? This is an old boy. He's about 80. He goes, what do you know about the screen that they put around him? Did you see the screen?
Screen? Oh, yeah.
Like a flowery peacock embroidered screen.
Yeah. Because you have to get another, isn't it?
That is the most spiritual point of the whole ceremony. That is like a peak moment. And it's spiritually, this is what this is arguing, right? That's what the point they're making. Spiritually, it's when he becomes king behind there. But he's rubbed in Thiel by the archbishop.
He puts Thiel
on him. But the old boy in the street, he goes, you know what the other real reason is? He goes, what? He goes, they go in behind the screen and they check the crown jewels of the king.
Is it?
Yeah, they checked that.
So he was in the bunker the whole complete, fully.
Well, apparently he gives him a good grope down there. He goes, checks that the Kohinoor is still there.
We don't want that Kohinoor back. No,
right.
Keep that one.
And I went, what? He went, yeah. He goes, they call it the anointing oil that they're rubbing off. But apparently the hidden reason is that they check that. And I don't know whether that's a gender thing. I don't know whether it's like a masculinity thing.
They wouldn't have done that with the Queen.
Might have.
I don't know.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't do that to a woman. They wouldn't. No, I mean, that's
hang on a minute. Then how's that acceptable for a man? That's not right, is it?
I would have requested it.
I don't understand why.
But there you go. So this isn't really a things I've learned. It's more of a things I heard on the street in South London by some 80-year-old man. I'm not sure if it's a fact, but there you go. I'm sure someone will tell us if it's not. But one thing I do know, that's a fact, people.
Go on.
Fact. I've been done. I was gutted that we didn't do last week's podcast simply because I didn't get to mention this. But Ye Kahani Shuru Ho Ye 2 weeks ago, when one of you lot, both of you lot, and all the listeners started taking the mick out of me for saying Nutella. I said Nutella in a slip. I didn't even think about it. I always knew it as Nutella. And you said, no, it's Nutella. Everyone cussed me out. Nut. It's got nut in the title. There's a clue in the title. Nut.
Nut.
Well, I'm going to bust all your nuts now because it's Nutella. It's official. It started off, we got a message from somebody who works for Ferrero Rocher in the marketing team and says, I'm pretty sure it's Nutella.
It was Nutella.
No, wait, that was round one. The warning signal came
first
from
we got the Ferrero
Asian
Rocher.
Woman who worked for Ferrero Rocher who owns the Nutella company.
Which I discarded. I'll be honest with you, I discarded.
Yeah.
I said, it's just some desi, whatever. And then we got an official tweet from Nutella Global, who tweeted back at us and said, happy to clear this up. The correct pronunciation is Nutella. A Nutella is Italian. So actually, it is Nutella. So you can stick that on your buns and spread it on your pancakes, wherever else you want.
In Italy, they might say Nutella. Yeah, but
agreed,
we're London, isn't it, bruv? So it's Nutella.
Yes, it's Nutella. Nutella.
Your surname is in India is Sandhu. But in here, it's Sandhu, isn't it?
Sandhu. You say it's Sandhu. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sandhu, I mean, you've taken it one step further and changed your first name. If Nutella wanted to do that,
my parents gave it to me.
Okay, we know what your first name, we know what your government first name is, but.
I got called Tony before I got called Narrow. Hold on. That's not Nutella, the point. You're twisting the gal here. You're twisting Steve. Okay, so when people go, oh, I'll have a chipotle. I'll have a boona, you know,
Doppiazza.
Yeah, but that's annoying. They shouldn't. Don't like it when people say Doppiazza. Imagine if a Gorda turned to you, Kej, and went, hey, Kejul, go grab me that, but said it like that.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
Great song you just played there, Sachin Bhai. Boom. You'd be like, well done. You've said it correctly.
No, because that's not my name.
Sachin Bhai, I mean, you're saying, there's a proper okay, so when you went into your French exams, Kej, and your Latin exams and all the other things you did in your posh school and would you go bonjour je m'appelle Kejul?
I did, and I got a B in German, can I just say. So there's nothing wrong with it.
And that was in the French exam.
Yeah.
I still got B. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
You know what?
I mean, as much as we hate to give in, I mean, they're right to a point. They tweeted us. We've got to have to just take that on the chin, Sad. You know, and
it's
if you want to
the guys that make it.
We're going to have to take that one.
That's like, I'll tell you what that's like. That's like us hearing a podcast from China, and they're going, oh, they're talking in Chinese or Mandarin, right? And they're going, oh, you know, Bruana Loada, right? Bruana Loada podcast. Tommy's Bruana Loada. And then we mess and go, guys, actually, the correct pronunciation isn't Bruana Loada. The actual correct pronunciation is Brownlow.
And then they're going, yeah, but is it really? We need to be redefined. We need to be remarketed as the Bruana Loada. I just love it. It sounds like a holiday resort as well. Have you been to Bruana Loada?
Is that a swear word?
Really nice.
Isn't Loada? Is that a swear? Can I tell you a quick thing about Brown Loada? Sorry, Brown Loada. Just reminding me of something that happened yesterday. Right.
What are you on about? That is a rude word.
Kefi Khalil. There were two people that are on a Pakistani Coke Studios. They did a concert. They're in the Indigo O2 tomorrow, which I'm hosting as well. Right. Somebody on stage, one of the artists, called a member of the audience a Laura. Now, I don't know what a Laura is.
One of the artists called a member of the audience. Why?
I don't use it, like no one in my family, no one uses the word. That, is Laura Hindi or is it?
No, probably it's to do with a coronation. Lord, didn't it? It was talking about Lord.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow, okay.
Lord Sugar was in the audience.
What do you mean he called someone? Can we have that? What do you mean he called someone?
Okay.
So this is what happened. It wasn't it was the Shay Gill, the singer of Pasuri.
She called someone.
By the way, Kej, you particularly, you're going to. You would have really rated her. She's brilliant, but also she can sing in English. There's something about it. I thought, oh man, it's a young talent. This one's going to go
very
far.
Talented.
Anyway, that aside.
She's good.
she's doing a song and she's chatting a bit to the audience. Kefi Khalil, by the way, the other guy, he didn't chat much. He's very shy. He's very young, quite just very much into the music, him and his guitar, whatever. Hmm. She was a bit more interactive and she was getting the crowd up and about and whatever. And they were doing their thing and dancing around. And I don't even know what happened or where it came from. And she turned to these three guys in the front row and she went, have you got something to say?
She was a bit
right?
stressed.
And I thought, rot, like she's got angry. Like that, I thought, good on her. Whatever it is, she's dealing with it. But she's laughing and she said, like, come on, like what? And I thought, look at that good bit of Pakistani, Punjabi, feisty, Gill action, right? Anyway, and then she goes, right. Then about 10 seconds later, she goes, right, let's get everybody up dancing, even the three Lorde in the front. Right?
That's brilliant.
and I was like, and I didn't, but But Lorna is not really bad. What does it mean? It means like knob, doesn't it? Is it knob?
Yeah, like a slang. It's a slang. Yeah, it's a slang for just,
So like I said, I've never used that word all my life. So I'm only coming about it. I tell you when I first heard it, the cricket, when I was with you guys, I heard someone
say you would have heard that. You would have heard that.
I didn't know what it was. Anyway, so I kind of, that's kind of another thing I learned.
So you learned that. Like, and that's why Gujaratis love that telephone mate back in the day, Mota Lora, because it was just really hilarious.
Mota Lora.
Oh, very kids, good. That is such a bad joke, honestly.
No, but Gujaratis, any Gujarati who had that would call it, have you got Mota Lora? And I was like, everyone would just, yeah, check it. Look at it, it flips as well.
No.
I've got a motto in my Lora that flips around. That makes it me very good. Okay, anyway, I just thought rated on the artist to confront tricky situation.
At least we've kind of just very quickly we've got to the truth in what happened last week. So Tommy was obviously away doing all of his events and stuff. So so it was both of your faults then, really, that you weren't.
Yeah, it was kind of both of our faults, and just everyone was busy on different days and everything like that. And to be fair, because again, it was a bank holiday, and I basically was sort of coming back down from Stoke, so I'd driven all the way to Stoke, because there's this like incredible swimming complex. I say complex, it's like one of those fun kind of big swimming centers with slides and waves all of that kind of thing for the bank holiday weekend.
Hey, I've been there because this is from Birmingham. Yeah, and it's a drive out. It's about 45 minutes from Birmingham. And I've big car park, pay and display. Oh, wicked! You went there.
I went there, pay and display, but no electric charger. And I say that because basically...
Satch, just a quick thing. Yeah. Just ignore the fact that a man on his own is going to a kid's swimming pool at a busy time of year. There's nothing weird about that whatsoever. We'll all just glaze over that. Carry on.
But there was basically... It was my first trip in a car which has no fuel but electricity. No petrol, no diesel, but electricity. And I was nervous. Because the range in my car. No,
what was it called? You know what it's called? You had.
Go on.
RA.
Which is what? Range anxiety.
Range anxiety. It's a thing, bruv. It's a thing.
Yeah. And I never thought I would. Yeah. Range anxiety is a thing. But I'm always looking at that percentage. I'm always looking at it because every time, the way I am. Can juice monkey juice now when it comes in my gaddi, because if you want the heat, like, on,
not just when it comes to the gaddi, just generally.
Exactly. I didn't want to say that.
No. In the car, bruv, if you're cold, you make sure that you bring your gloves, you bring a scarf and everything. There is no heating going on in this car now. That is done and decided. No, because that's electricity, bro. If you want to charge your phone, tough, your phone's going to die because that's taking electricity out of my gaddi, right? So all of this, sometimes we have quiet periods in the car as well because I can't afford to have the radio on as well. There's electricity.
Wow, right? So
this is the level that I'm now driving. I don't know why I've become like this is driving an electric car.
I just picture Kedge with his family, mum, dad, everyone else in there, right? And he's there because, hey, guys, who needs a radio? I used to work in the radio. Name a song. I'll sing it to you.
Yeah.
He's taking requests. Yeah,
we're only doing induction. That is it. No windows open. That causes drag. That causes more electricity to be used in the car as well. So basically, it's a very strict regime in the Gaddi now, right? And I was like, I think I must have used about 7 different apps. And how do you have to go there? Where do I stop? How will the machines work? Will they be free? And that's the only thing. So even when we stop for a Starbucks or a McDonald's, all I'm thinking about is I've got to park near the charger. Can I get the wire into my car? And also, how long can I stall everyone so I get a good charge out of it? My God, it's stress.
Did you get up to Stoke then in one go?
So I could have got to Stoke in one go. If I wanted to, I had enough. There's enough mileage. I can get 250. Right. Stoke was about 140. So I could have done that easily.
Comfortably.
That could have been done. But I didn't want to get to Stoke with low percentage, like 20, 30% battery. Do you see what I mean? Because I knew that where I was parking, there was no charger. Ideally, I wanted a charger there. So while I go for a little swim, I come back, the guard is charged. But it can't always happen like that. So there was no charger there.
I'm going to compare. Let me explain. You know me when I, because I haven't got an electric car. Yeah. I'm trying to relate. It's a bit like, it feels like to me in my head, it's a bit like when you need cash on you. You're like, well, I've got some cash, right?
Yeah.
if I spend that cash on the way to set the petrol station or whatever, wherever, I'm just saying, yeah, the same analogy, then I'm not going to have any cash at the party. Then I'm going to have to probably go somewhere and throw out cash there. And I'd rather hang on to the cash I've got or top up the cash, which is probably what you did along the way, so that you're ready to throw the notes over the bride and groom at the wedding day.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was thinking casino, you were thinking wedding. But cash in hand is king. And so therefore electricity in the gutty is king as well. So luckily I did do it every time we did stop, and that was twice, because there was a little mutti break as well. I plugged it in. So I got there with 60% battery. So I thought, okay, that's good. We got 60% battery. I was gonna get there with about, say, 30% battery, 40%. So I got there with 60%. I thought, right, this gives me a little maneuverability now, so that when we go for a munch afterwards, I can find, hopefully, in a bigger charger. Complex, there'll be a charger. Yeah. My God. We stopped up a Pizza Hut. There was nothing there in that complex. The nearest one was over at, what was it, like Sainsbury's or something. So I had to go and park the car miles away. Everyone's like, Ked, you come in. You know, the buffet is about to finish. Everyone's eating. I'm still parking a car. Then the buffet, because it's French, and then I park the car. Then the machine don't work. I have to get my own wire out, because the machine wire won't work. Got my own wire out. Finally plugged it in, which meant that it was only giving me 7K. Wattage, which meant it was going to be a slow charge. So I came back. It only given me about 8% extra battery. Oh, waste of faff and gaff and all of that. And then I thought, right, guys. And then I'm stressed. I'm thinking, right, so I've got about 50-odd%. I think we're going to have to stop somewhere. I said, I reckon we can do this much of it, and then we'll charge up, we'll stop for a coffee, and give ourselves half an hour. So this is the problem. It adds all of this extra timage to your journey.
He's seriously wound up.
You've got
a hybrid, didn't you? You're a hybrid.
I ain't got none of this plugging in faff to deal with. I mean,
The plugging faff is you've got to be like. I'll be honest with you. If this was Tommy, the car would have stopped halfway there, because there's so much planning required.
Yeah, no, but Kedge, I think forget about Tommy. It's got nothing to do with him. You're the wally for buying this. This has got nothing to do with Tommy or me.
No, but I don't.
And can I just say, I remember when you were buying this car, you were trying to put it on me and say you should go electric too. And I was like, bruv, there is no way I would ever do that, because I know that we're not ready for it. We're not ready for it.
I don't do that many long trips, so it's handy for what I'm using it for. But this business to Stoke ain't happening again, right? So you know, like, if you want to go swimming now, we're going to the local one just down the road. But
even then, you can't even open the window or turn the radio or anything.
You have to entertain yourself. But we got to that. So just very quickly, we got to the first stop where I'd planned it, and I thought, right, here we go, guys. Everyone, Starbucks, get it ready. I'm going to park up. Both the chargers were taken up. The one charger that was free, which again was the low one, the 7K watt one, it wasn't working. I was like, right. I said, now we're on 35% battery. So we're trying to squeeze out 20 miles to get to the next station. I was like, we can do it. Let's keep positive. And the thing is, I would never update everybody in the car of how critical the situation was, because you can't.
Yeah, you can't have the pilot nervous. Oh, turbulence!
exactly. So I'm just trying to put the music on.
Kedge has obviously bought an electric car, Tommy, for number one, being good to the environment. Fine, we'll give him that. Yeah. But number two, it's going to be cheaper, because that's what we've been told. Yeah. No, it's not cheaper, because now you've got to stop and buy everyone a coffee and you know, hang around and do a bit of shopping in WH Smith's. It's like £10 for a doctor.
The hanging around is nuts as well. Do you know what I mean?
You should have just got a petrol car and filled up fuel. Then you didn't have to stop, and you didn't have to buy anyone a coffee or a chocolate or a biscuit.
You know what? I contemplated it. Borrow someone else's petrol car for it.
Now, the day is going to come where you're going to have to park at a charger somewhere and then get an Uber to where you need to be.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Kedge, you've
helped me. This 2 days ago, I got a phone call from the car company saying your lease comes out of a lease in November. Yeah. What do you want to do? He went, hey, you think about going full electric?
No.
And I've got quotes on full. I'm going to ignore those. Literally, off the back of this conversation, we're going hybrid only.
I feel bad. I feel bad hybrid. that I put
people off. But no, no, it's a lovely, beautiful car and a drive and all of that. But this, if you're going to, like, especially like you, Tommy, because if you do go Birmingham, there's a lot of traveling. Do you remember, like, Jazz Dami told us, no, was it Juggy D said that he had an electric car and he hadn't charged it night before and he got stuck halfway there as well. And, you know, he couldn't get to his gig. And this is the problem. There is a lot. I have to plan 2 weeks in advance where I'm going, what I'm doing, how much of a charge I need in the car. And it is. I mean, obviously, I've got a charger at home. But once you leave that and you're out there on your own, my God, it's a scary place out there.
Now, you're right, range anxiety as well. But look, that was your first taste of it. But I probably would imagine, Kej, as you do it more often, you'll be like, nice, cool. I top up here. I top up there.
I'll be honest with you. The services are good. You know, like, as long as you're going on the main roads and the services there, they've got loads of charging points there. So, you know, the big, it's just when you go, like, once you get off the M1 and then you go into village areas, Birmingham, and you go down the side roads and all, like, up into Stoke. Those services are, it's not them. Do you know what I mean? It's not about them ones.
Well, actually, Kej, funny, there might be a little bit of a road tour, because I normally drive around the country wherever I go, but this time I was training it up because it was Jubilee weekend. Ooh. Jubilee, Coronation weekend. I just thought, the roads are going to be manic and it's all that. So I'm just going to sit on the train, go Bradford, host the concert, come back. And I had a little, what I would call, out of body Kej experience, where I think I turned into you. Actually, Satch, I'll let you decide. Either I turned into Kej, or the woman who I was involved with turned into Kej. Right?
Oh, a woman that you were involved in. Tell us more.
Right. So this is what happened. So this is on the underground on the way back today. I've got back to King's Cross from Bradford.
I know where this might be going.
So I'm walking along through one of the tunnel bits from the overground to get to the underground to get home. So I'm in the tunnel. And obviously loads of people around King's Cross, they've all got bags and suitcases. Everyone's moving around the country, right?
Yeah, so slowly.
I've got a rucksack and I've got a little handheld kind of bag, right, as well. And this woman, and I noticed her because she was quite tall. She's about the same height as me. And she had like legs, looked quite sporty, right? Trainers, leggings, and like a jumper hoodie thing, okay? Just to paint the picture. Brunette, just so you know.
Bags?
Right. No bags. That's key. Yeah. That's key. No bags, right? All of a sudden, through the crowds, there's crowds here and there, but she's tall. I'm 6'2 as well, right? So we're walking roughly around the same pace at this point through the crowds. But then the crowds kind of part and we're side by side now. So we're both walking at a bit of a pace. And you know, you get that feeling of like, it feels like we're walking together, right? We're not. Right, we don't know each other. I'm looking out the corner of my eye, but now she's shoulder to shoulder. So I sped up because the crowds have cleared the tunnel. She sped up. Now I've got the bag. I've got a bag in my hand, which I'm trying to walk quickly, sort of to move my arms, but it's sort of hitting the left part of my knee.
I'm
holding, right? And the rucksack on my back, I can feel the heat building up now on it as well because I'm trying to walk.
To be fair, Tommy, at this point, you should have given up.
I shouldn't have started, bruv, because all of a sudden she had the turbo boost. And she went faster and started cutting away from me, but it didn't even look like she was trying. And I remember I looked down at her feet thinking, how quickly is she moving? But just something about the way she was gliding, she just pulled away. Her torque,
She was a marathon runner.
But I don't know. It didn't look like
she was.
I'll
tell you what, because since I've run the marathon, I've noticed that I have got this boost in my legs now. You can't tell, but I'm moving. I'm floating. I don't know what it is. They just move quicker.
Yeah, and I tell you why I can believe that, Kej. It's because when everybody said about the professional marathon runners, all the Mo Farahs and all that, they went, when you see them, it's like this, they're gliding but sprinting. They're traveling at real speed, but it's just real big, beautiful strides, and they know how to work all parts of their body. Anyway, what I'm saying is I got into this awkward, and it was only for about 4-5 seconds of shoulder to shoulder, then about 8 seconds of racing. And then I let go. I was like, you know what? I actually can't keep hitting her. She cut away. She went in front of me. She just went in front of me. She was too quick. So she, and I know, I felt like inside in her head, she was going,
If that was me, I'd have been, look at you.
Can I just say, Tommy, for you, there's a very valuable lesson to be learned here.
What's that, man?
There's no need to behave like Kej, because this is what he does. We know he does this. He's already confessed it on the podcast where he wants to be the first one off the train and, you know, walk in very quickly and then, you know, barges people out of the way and all of that. You kind of got caught up in that hype. And it happens sometimes, so I can't blame you. It happens. Sometimes when you're around these people, you just get sucked in. And you got sucked in.
I just want to make it clear. I did not race her to race her, to beat her.
You did for a bit. You were in it.
I just felt awkward that we were walking side by side and no one else was there because we're both walking around the same pace. So I thought, oh, I know. And I'm sorry if this makes me chauvinistic. It makes me chauvinistic. I thought, well, I'm the bloke. I'm going to be quicker. I'll just go for it a bit and cut away.
Put the burners on you.
No. And that, and she went, cool yourself up. Like, that ain't nothing. And then she showed me. So I learned my lesson big time. But I just...
Can I just say...
More that she just had walking skills that I just don't have.
Right. All I'm saying is no one got a medal, so it don't matter.
No,
what was the prize? Was there a prize at the end?
Mentally, you can tell he's bruised. He's bruised and battered.
I don't think he cares.
No, I care a little bit. If I'm honest, I don't know why I care, but I do care.
He cares.
Tommy, you're turning into him, honestly.
If you lose a race on the underground, mate, I'm telling you, it takes me a day.
I'm sorry, but if you see Tommy on the underground this week, avoid him because he wants to beat you in the race.
But then I started looking at everybody else walking along in the underground. And going,
here we go.
I reckon I could go faster than him. I reckon I'm faster than him.
He's fully converted. Kedgy's you.
I love it. Well done. This is the start. You're going to be running a marathon.
It sounds like it was all happening in Bradford. So you've obviously had, people calling someone something. Then you're racing people on the train. What else happened?
It gets worse. Bloody hell. It's when I travel around. I shouldn't really mix with people. I realise this now. That is a Kedge thing to say. Oh, my God.
Tommy without us, he gets into all of these pickles.
Right. So another pickle. Let me quickly tell you this. Oh. Can I say this? Because it was...
God,
it was
mate, there is more pickles than in my shawarma at the moment, honestly.
I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of pickles normally, but pickles in shawarma, it just goes.
Tommy, I just had one before.
I just had a falafel and some wicked pickles as well, mate.
If there was some way I could bring a shawarma back for you, Tommy, because I know you would appreciate it, I really would. But I don't want to bring like a half dead one because I know it'd be half dead by the time it comes back to you. Do you know what I mean?
If I picked you up from the airport, I could have it within 6 hours, 7 hours.
I had a beautiful one today.
Oh man, it's lovely.
And I remembered you.
Right.
What other pickle did you get into?
I was backstage after the concert last night in Bradford. And obviously there's a lot of crew there, security, part of the venue. So no one to do with any of the event organizing, anything like that. And part of that, the local security teams. And then sort of friends through them. And a few people came up. And by the way, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I get so many people still saying, we miss you on the radio. That's what I get all the time. We miss you on the radio, And... excuse me, that's hard. It's hard to hear because I miss the radio as well. I miss the old days. I miss all that. And I'm like, but man, that was 6 years ago now.
A long time.
It's an old girl.
So what was that station you were on again? Sunrise Radio, was it?
Yeah, I don't know. Sunrise Network, Brit Asia Network, Sunrise. That's what I get that. It's what people get the station wrong. They go, oh, loved it. It's when someone goes, yeah. And
if they said that to us three, Between us three, we worked all of them. So
yeah, you're right.
They wouldn't be wrong. So.
Yeah,
Sunrise Brit Buzz Asia Network. So
club.
And the guy comes and he goes, oh, it's lovely to show. I said, oh, thanks a lot, right? And he went, he started crying. Like, he goes, oh, I've come to this event. I've seen you at this event. And I was like, oh, brilliant. And he went, so give me your number then.
Yeah.
Give me your number. Right now we're backstage, so this isn't a someone out in the thing, out in the kind right. of someone out in the, like, with the public. He's kind of, actually, we were in the kind of the where they're doing the meet and greets with the stars, right? So people could, like, who had the VIP tickets could do that. So he was kind of with them, but he was sort of working at the venue. I'd seen him throughout the night a couple of times, but I didn't know him, never met him before. So what do I do? What do I do in that scenario? He goes, give me your number.
So he was just a security man, and he said, give me your number.
I think, no, he wasn't even security. He was a friend. He was a friend of the security men.
Right.
A friend of the security man.
Was he going to ask you out on a date? I don't know. For what purpose?
Right. That is a good point.
That's a good point.
We established that there was no working connection. Like, sometimes you talk to someone and goes, oh, like another guy.
Did you connect
for example,
with him like a mate? Did you connect with him like a bit of a brother?
No, not really. We spoke for about 30 seconds to a minute. Like, that was the conversation we had.
Yeah,
so maybe he was Asian Network, missing the Asian Network days, blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah, I miss it too. It's a good old days. All right. Yeah, we had a good time. Real shame what happened. Cool. And he went, oh, cool. So can I get your number then?
And that, I mean, I rate him how he got that in. Rate how he slid that.
Yeah, Kedge is that guy. Kedge is that guy. He would have done that.
You're me. What do you say in that scenario?
I'd have gone, absolutely, bro. Let me just go to the toilet, yeah? And then we'll hook it up, yeah? Safe.
No. We're in a little holding area, by all the dressing rooms.
Yeah, but I would have just walked away. I would have gone, yeah, no problem. But, you know, there's no reception here at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Remind me that the thing I learned, which I'll say at the end of the podcast, was from this guy. Because he pulled his phone out and I learned something from his phone, which I'll come back to in a minute when we at the end of the podcast.
Oh, my God.
But he had his phone in his hand. He goes. I went, what's that phone? And that's the thing I learned. And he was ready. He was holding it like, go. I can't go, yeah, blah, 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 and run off. I can't do that. That's not.
Did he see your phone on you?
I don't need my phone to give him my phone number, do I?
So then you should have just given him a wrong, like you always just change your last digit, bruv. Come on, that's the basic.
That is very easy to do.
Did you give him your number?
Yes, I did.
Oh my days. What would you do? Look, rule not that. Two things, Tommy. If anyone ever says that to me, and a lot of people do, they come up to me like, oh, you know, yeah, you know, yeah, you know, saw you here, DJ there.
DJ here, DJ there, give me your number.
Can I get your number? I'm like, do you know what? The best way to get in contact with me is to message me on Instagram. That's the line. I don't talk to people.
Yeah, Tommy, learn that, please. Yeah, Tommy, best way to message me. Best way to message me is on high five. High five. Just say that, and then exactly.
Exactly.
It used to be around when we were like 20 years ago or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So have the
Instagram line in your pocket, and if the guy's persistent, then you put your number down.
Because you can call me. Because then you go, I only like to do face-to-face chat. So just, FaceTime me on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram's the one. But also, if he wants the number flex, just change a few digits around, bro.
Yeah, like, you've got to change, yeah. Boy. Or just give someone, Simon, your cousin's number or something.
I should give Simon would quite enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, he'd love it.
That is hilarious, Kedge.
Can you do that next time?
Yes, 100%. Please do.
I know Simon's number top of my head. 07031.
There you go then. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got it. I know it. He knows I know it as well.
That's it. Love it.
Because also, if they put it into their WhatsApp, it will come up with Simon Sandu. They'll go, oh, maybe he's proper. Maybe Tommy is Simon or Simon. You know, like it's like another. It's like, yeah. you want the number for Brad Pitt, but you get Chad Pitt.
And on the radio, maybe he's Tommy Sandu. But when you get Tommy, that's it.
Family calling Simon. Simon and indulge him.
He'll chat back. He'll probably FaceTime them more than they FaceTime him. So he'll be more annoying. That's a good solution. Thank you.
Well, that's one test you failed. I mean, thank God you don't have to do the British citizen test as well, because that's been in the papers recently as well, isn't it?
They brought that out years ago. They have.
But the questions have been knocking around quite a lot recently for some strange reason. And I saw them, and I know Kedge has seen them as well. And I think maybe, is it because of the coronation? The coronation and stuff.
Someone I know at work had to take that citizenship because she's Australian. So she had to take it. And like it's quite an expensive thing to do. And there's quite a lot of nonsense that you have to learn as well from this book, again, which you have to buy. And some of the questions, I mean, I will put money that you are not going to know the answer to this one.
Okay, so cool. The question they ask people before they want to what get a visa here,
to get the citizenship. So after living here for 2 years and whatever, then you do your citizenship exam.
Okay. So they've been here for a bit. Yeah. So the idea is that what I was trying to think is like my mum in Punjab, for argument's sake, right?
He'd have to do the test over there.
But you would say he would come over, he'd have the working visa for a couple of years, and then he'd have. Okay, yeah, that's cool. So you're a little bit more familiar with it. Good. Okay,
you're
gone
familiar.
Then.
So you're expecting to know. So the first one of the questions I've got is, who opened the first curry house?
Oh, that's, well, because I was hosting the Scottish Curry Awards last week, chicken tikka masala was invented up there. So I'm gonna say someone in Scotland.
But that's not the answer, is it?
That's not the answer, no.
They want a name.
They want a name, bruv.
of the, who opened the first curry. Bro, that's like who wants to be a millionaire. That would be like a £250,000 question.
Exactly. And this is what they want to know.
Go on, give it to us.
His name was Dean Muhammad.
Where was he based?
Sheikh Dean Muhammad. And in the he was the first one who opened it on 34 George Street. And it was known as the Hindustan Coffee House, like Nutella. This was the Hindustan Coffee House.
Right. Okay. Interesting. I never knew that. Go on, give us another one.
Okay. Another question. When was Theresa May Prime Minister? You have to give the dates.
Oh, the actual date.
Yeah. I need a month and a year.
Shut up, a month.
Between both of you, try and work out the year even.
Theresa May was Prime Minister.
Yeah, go on. Between both of you, try and work out even the years.
So she was before Boris, so she was 2018 to 2021.
Satch, you want to increase it, decrease it?
It's not 2021. I'd say about 2020. So I'd say 19 to 18.
So you only think she was in it for 1 year?
Or about two, maybe. One or two. Not long.
Okay, so the answer is July 16 to July 19.
Oh, wow. 3 years.
Right? So I'm not being funny, but I'm getting the ship ready now. It's full of petrol. This is going towards Bombay at the moment for both of you. The last question, to try and salvage any kind of Britishness you've got left. I mean, Satch is not going to be allowed back in if this gets leaked into the papers. How tall is the London Eye in feet?
Shut up. No one's supposed to know that.
Yep.
1,050.
Okay. Feet. I've got a problem with the question, sir, before I get into the answer, right?
Go on.
I want to say this. For you to know how high the London Eye is doesn't make you a citizen. It makes exactly. you know, trivia.
Exactly.
They need to be saying something like, when a new till opens at the supermarket, do you just go run there, be in front of the person who's in front of you? Yeah. Or do you offer the person in front of you the chance to go there and go, look, they don't mean that. You're in front of me anyway. You get first dibs on that, which is what I do, which is what I think being British is all about. Do you like gardening? Yes, then you're going to fit in Britain because Britain loves gardening.
We've got a question. Now, come on, let's have the answer quickly.
Tommy, you want to guess? Yeah, in feet.
I'm rubbish. Okay, house is about.
No, I wouldn't have a clue where to even start. Does it start at
800 feet? 800 feet.
800 feet. Satch has gone for 1,000. The nearest one who basically will get a life jacket on the boat to India is Tommy, because it was 443 feet.
Wow.
Is that what it is? Yeah, but that's nothing. Our love for the London Eye or our knowledge of it is because we're rubbish at working out how many feet are in anything.
Yeah. No, hang on, Tommy. Look, on the flip side, I'm going to give you some easy ones because I came across this test as well. What's the UK's capital city?
Easy. The UK's capital city,
yeah,
not the capital of England.
Yeah,
the question is, what's the UK's capital city?
Wow!
But hold on, the UK is
the United Kingdom.
Yeah,
Tommy, don't overthink it. That's all I'm going to say.
London,
you're not going home. It's good.
The question
is, what is the UK's currency called?
Oh, sterling.
Yeah, pound. Yeah, pound sterling.
Pound sterling,
another one. This one's a bit of a... You might not know this if you're from abroad, but you might do. Which of the following is associated with football? The Open, UEFA, or the Ashes?
Oh, lovely. UEFA. See, this is more like it.
That's what I mean.
That's got nothing to do with being British, though, is it? Jesus.
I
think I'm with Tommy. The way it should be those kind of questions about what you do in a supermarket. If you see a divider that is, you know, straight, do you put it sideways? Do you, you know, keep the distance? I think that's really important, as we've discovered on the Browner. And yeah, you should learn about, you know, like queuing and all of those, the politeness and the British way of life.
Yeah.
Which side of the escalator do you stand on?
Yes, that's a good question. Should you walk onto an escalator looking at your phone? Should you get off an escalator looking at your phone, not know where to go? Should you stand at the exit of a train and so that you're blocking the way for everybody to get off it while you're having a little, you know, sort of goosey around the platform? No. So therefore,
yeah,
this is the stuff that you need to have a proper sort of
right plan. Exactly. You got a bit of resha in your throat. Do you cough up the phlegm and spit it out on the side of the street? Right? Or do you get a tissue out, spit into the tissue and put the tissue in the bin, or flush it down the toilet?
Or, like a true Britishman, just swallow it.
I beg your pardon. the
phlegm. But yeah,
just quickly about the escalator. That, do you know, that's one thing that's annoyed me here so far, Kedge.
What's that?
I was in Dubai Mall the other day. Obviously, thousands of people getting on an escalator to go upstairs to the next floor, and they're just you can't go past. That's it. You've got to wait. You've got to. When you get to the top or the bottom, they just stand there. So you know, it's a pile up at the end, and I'm just like,
it's a pile up, and it's just everyone's looking at each other, and also because Dubai is quite an idle city. You know what I mean? They're not ones to run up an escalator or walk up an escalator. So it's quite slow paced. It's quite
very laid back.
And
I even noticed more people would queue up to get in a lift than go on an escalator because they're not in a rush. Do you know they queue up to go in a lift?
Yeah,
because it was just.
We haven't had one of these moments in a while. But the match between West Ham and Manchester United has just finished, and West Ham has won 1-0. Do we get a live statement from Saj?
No, I saw what happened before we started the podcast, and I was just like, to be fair, I even said it to my brother who's here with me, and I was like, we're going to lose this game, and we lost.
Okay, and I want it known for the record. You know what I'm going to say. That earlier this afternoon, on my way back from Bradford, my missus going, oh, come straight to her cousin's house where I was in South London, near Satch's house, and do the street party because, you know, we haven't seen you for the last few days and la, la, la. So I did that. And then while I'm on my way there, I get a text message from my mate Amajit who goes, do you want to come to the West Ham Man U game? We've got a ticket, right? Got a spare one. And they've got good tickets, right?
Mm. You didn't go just to do the podcast?
No, I didn't go for the podcast because we missed. And I said to him, I said, bro, I've already missed last week's podcast. That's never happened before.
Look at this commitment, ladies and gentlemen. And we've just
beat the mighty Man U. And Man U are a legendary team to beat. And despite
they're doing well. They're in the top four of the season.
So I'm getting it because I know that would have been a real buzz and a wicked atmosphere. It's a warm night, by the way, in East London at the moment. I'm in a T-shirt right now. It's like that would have been a good game to watch. But anyway, Satch, how much do you care about the last minute of what I've been saying?
switched off.
Yeah.
So from the things that we haven't seen to the things that we have seen, who wants to go first?
Okay. Can I share because they're quick things, and it's not things I'm going to go into massive detail about. But I had a little look. You know, as I was when I'm on TikTok and things like that. And I've told you this before. I'm a little bit fascinated by the pyramids, right? The pyramids just keep popping up. How do they get constructed and all that?
What is this?
Honestly. I'm getting drawn into this a little bit too much. Like, I think I'm...
How old are you? Have you been to Egypt?
No. I want to go, though. Why are you laughing at that? Why is that funny?
No, it's a good field trip. I mean...
So, next you're going to say aliens put them there.
Well, that's exactly the thing.
Here we go. Come on, let's have it.
Basically, bruv, I'm honestly coming to the conclusion that we're not the first advanced civilization on this planet. I really do believe that something went on. There's no way those pyramids got there by humans, right? There's no way humans
just blocks.
Move those blocks. Bro, do you know how high it is? It's hundreds of meters high. And the way it all fits into the geographical points on the earth and all that. Anyway, so let me just tell you what I watched. The first thing I started to watch was The Secrets of the Saqqara Tomb, which is an Egyptian tomb about all the little codes and stuff on this. So I started watching some series of that. And then I thought, that's quite good. But I don't want to be limited just to the Saqqara tomb. I thought, what else is there? Like, in general.
Tutankhamun. And,
huh?
Tutankhamun.
Why are you saying it like that? Why are you saying it like you're taking the mic?
Tutankhamun. No, Tutan.
Yeah, you're Tutankhamun. Tutan. Kiskamunta. Tutankhamunta. Right? No, it was... The other thing I'm watching is...
Cleopatra.
It's the alien shows. Sorry, I'm trying to find the actual title. Alien. Bam.
You think I'm weird?
I'm watching Bam. Listen, BAM. Listen to this. Builders of ancient mysteries, right? So BAM is all of it is really good as well. And it's just all about ancient civilizations, their connections to aliens. I don't know why you're laughing at me, bruv. I'm telling you, something went on. Because
Builders of Ancient Mysteries is a show that needs to go around and knock down all these fake houses and built in gardens and stuff. And
not Sunday. Asian mysteries. Ancient mysteries. Not Builders of Asian Mysteries.
You know, it's funny, isn't it? A lot of mysteries are builders. People who solve mysteries, they're builders.
Well, and hold on. They built a house in their garden that they're renting out to some man. Knock it down.
Okay. No, listen, please. If you just illegal. Go down a little illegal. TikTok. Please, no, don't laugh at me and don't laugh at me. Because
I thought he was going to come up with some really interesting stuff.
No. And then Easter Island. You lot, you know what? Forget you lot. Forget you. Let's have the last one. Okay, Easter Island. No, that was it. Those are the two shows. But they talk about Easter Island quite a lot because right. On Easter Island, there's all these where the Incas were and all those people and how they created these really heavy statues. But they're looking at the bricks. This is so nerdy. They're looking at the brickwork on these islands versus the brickwork in Egypt. And they're basically saying, impossible. Somebody before us did it. But yet, what? And then why are all the statues facing a certain way? These are bright people. These are scientists breaking it down.
Oh, yeah. No one's disputing the fact that they were very clever people before us.
But then how? How are you justifying that in your mind right now? When these are 5,000-year-old bricks that go way before Christ, way before a lot of our religions go back or that we know of. And they're seeing similarities in the kind of cutting of the bricks and the rituals from people across the world. So there's what is in Machu Picchu versus Easter Island versus Egypt. There's similarities. So there's something that went on, bruv. That's all I'm saying. And all these hidden worlds.
Yeah, it's just civilization at a different rate.
Yeah. Right. Okay. See, you're going to try and do your little justification of it. I'm just saying, watch the programs. They lure you in. They're good shows. That's what I've been watching. What have you been watching?
It's deep. I've literally jumped onto the hype from Apple, which I'm sure everyone has seen probably on their timelines. And it's the new show that they released on Friday called Silo, S-I-L-O, new offering from Apple TV Plus. It's brilliant.
Oh, wow.
They've released two episodes.
We've heard that before.
No. This, and then actually, Tommy would love this because it fits into all of this Machu Picchu and all of this kind of stuff, yeah? In the sense that it's a civilization that is underground in a cylinder, like, that goes down. It just goes down, and they live, like, it's sort of in a circular kind of thing, and they've got cows and farming and food productions and all of this, that, but in a cylinder. And they're in there, and they're not allowed out because basically they've been told that you will die. There's a whole different set of rules in there, and it unfolds from that. It's a brilliant start.
Doesn't this sound like Snowpiercer, the train thing?
Snowpiercer was a train that they couldn't come out because the planet had frozen over, so they couldn't come out, and the train kept going round and round.
This is underground.
Well remembered. This is just an underground tube, like Noah's Ark, but it goes underground. And why are they all kept in there? But I love it because, you know what? I love looking at how human civilization would be able to cope with this sort of rules, who decides the rules, the behavior, the rebels, because we get that in every...
You always like, if I'm honest, Kej, I think your little thing is dystopian futures. You know, yes. They talk about where the world's gone a bit X or the world's gone a bit Y.
And to be fair, dystopian stories always show us in the future, which always looks a little bit grim. And it always looks like there's less of us around. And it's never
like
a good
that.
Place. No. But I don't think that's a good way of looking at it as a human species. I think we have to think a bit more like protopian. We've got to look into it could be a good place because actually, if you think about it, here's the question, right? If you could be born in any era, in any year, when would you be born in terms of civilization?
Oh, okay. I got a theory. I would want to be around the 60s, Woodstock and all
that.
You
wouldn't.
Why?
No. You're just thinking about the party side of it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the quality of life and all of that, where we'd be.
Oh. I'd go back to when the aliens were overseeing the pyramids then, because I know that for a fact now.
But if you think about it, now is the best time.
No, it's not.
It is. We are so far advanced in technology.
No, it's not. No, it doesn't matter about how advanced we are. I'm sorry, but people are dickheads now.
Oh.
And I don't
know. Came out of nowhere.
No, not but yeah, basically, there was three of them.
The advancements of drugs and medical help and
forget
technology.
That. I'm sorry.
We are only the best now. If every year we could have better and better.
If we could live in that period of sort of like the 70s and 80s and just stay there with how things and technology don't change, I think I'd be happy in the early 90s.
The world wasn't a good place then, Saj.
No, I think it was.
We were still fighting over real silly things. The economy
but I think it's got even worse now, mate. What are you on about? At least really? People are having fun then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
no one's having fun. They're just Karens.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think the good thing about all of us is we've lived through the fun times, the 90s, you know, and even for me, sorry, Satch, before you, like that, I got to experience 80s music, top of the pop, watching Duran Duran. You know,
the music and all of that. I agree.
And I'll tell you why. This is exactly why I say this is because of a thing that I watched this week. And it was actually while I was on the plane. And it was Whitney Houston's biopic that I Want to Dance with Somebody. Oh, and I've got to say that. Honestly, so I've seen most of them. So I've seen like the Queen one. I've seen the Elton John one. I saw like the Nebworth document. And I've got to say, this is up there, Tommy. It's really very good. It's very good.
There was a documentary that I watched on it. It came out a few years ago. Where I remember it because it started off with the police sirens and the ambulances, and it was going
right.
The ambulance has been called.
So this is an actual film. So an actress plays her. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It is incredible. It's such a good film. If you like 80s music and 80s culture, and you know sort of how things come about back then, brilliant. Really good film. So that was one thing that I watched on the plane. And the other thing was a Tom Hanks film, A Man Called Otto. Anyone heard about that?
Oh, I saw that advertised.
I'm meaning to watch it. Was it good, Sam?
It looked a bit rubbish.
It's really good. Tom Hanks. You know what? Tom Hanks doesn't make rubbish movies. And I've got to say, there's a lot of similarities between me and Otto. He's a grumpy old man. And I was watching it and I was just like, some of the things he does is a bit me. It's a bit me. So there was a bit relatable there, and the other thing that I saw before I actually got on the flight to Dubai was, and I shouldn't have watched this because I was thinking, why did I watch this before getting on a plane? The Sky Documentaries documentary called Hijacked.
Oh, very good.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was just there. So I was flying the next morning and it was there on Tuesday night. I was sitting there, I was like, what should I watch? Put it on. It was on the homepage of the Sky thing because it's like, you know, they're promoting it quite a lot and stuff. It was a good watch. It was about a plane getting hijacked in Karachi, which was really Pan Am one. So a Pan Am one. So you lot might even remember it when you were.
I remember when that happened. Yes,
it was because the flight came from Mumbai, went to Pakistan, and then it got hijacked there. Okay, and it's like a documentary thing, hour and a half, definitely worth a watch.
Okay. Love it.
I definitely want to watch the Whitney one. That's for sure. I'm gonna get down with that. Right. Finally, then, things we have learned this week.
Ooh, who wants to go first?
I'll go first again because I mentioned 9.5 already. I got from that guy who took my phone number, right?
Mm, right.
So he pulled out his phone, right? Typed in the number and I went, what's that phone? He went, oh, it's an Amazon phone. I went, you what?
What?
Yeah.
This is probably connected to the pyramids.
See, you know what I never do? I respect your space to be into the weird stuff that you're into. Oh, yeah, this is epic. It's a game changer. Oh, this is epic. It's a game changer. How many times have we heard that, right? So,
every week.
But I let it go. I've never said anything until this day out of respect.
But this was that we weren't expecting.
No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Job. I mentioned one thing that I'm a little bit into. Yeah, that I'm like, guys, this is fascinating me a little bit. A little bit of history, a little bit of conspiracy. I'm into it. And look how you're rubbishing it. You're muttying on my fire, right?
No. Tell me about the Amazon phone.
It's called the Fire Phone. So stop peeing on my fire. So it's the Fire Phone. And I went, oh. And I went, is that new? And that was my fault. Now I'm showing the guy interest. Probably why he thought, take my number.
This is the backstory. Yeah, it makes sense now.
And he goes, it came out in 2014. I was like, oh, right. So I thought, oh, so he's got like a 9-year-old phone, right? And I thought, I mean, oh, your phone's as old as my kids, right? Like you're like, okay. My simple thing I learned was Amazon once made a phone.
Wow, how random is that?
And this geezer in Bradford is still using it. I mean, that kind of says a lot about
the phone. No, because no Apple phone will last 9 years. No way.
I mean, the fact that it's still, I mean, I don't know what you do on it. I mean, you probably just send text messages and that's about it.
Yeah, well, he was able to store a number, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's got your number.
Yeah. He has got your number.
And he sent me a text straight away. He sent me a text straight away. Yeah.
Did you reply? I bet you replied as well.
No, I didn't reply. Because I thought he WhatsApped me and he didn't. He sent it.
Oh, it was an actual text. Yeah, because you can't get WhatsApp on them phones.
No, you can't get WhatsApp on that.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to go to the next cage or shall I?
No, please do. I've got something different. I've got an interesting one, like, which is a bit different, left field. I've done a bit of extra work for my one.
You're trying to say my one's not interesting? Okay, so the thing that I learned this week, and it kind of hurt me to do this one because I know it's about Nutella that we that we learned.
Oh, yeah. I like how you're circling it nicely here.
And did you know 25% of the world's hazelnuts go into Nutella?
That is a lot.
25% of the whole world's hazelnuts just go into Nutella. That one product.
25% of the world's nuts go into Nutella.
Hazelnut.
No, but that's a lot of consumption of that of Nutella.
Why? Don't why you make it sound Bindu now?
We've been told it's Bindu. It's Bindu.
You said it like you got barn in your mouth.
Nutella.
Huh?
25% of hazelnuts. Wow.
That's a good one. That's a good stat. It's a good number. I like that. And someone somewhere, this is what my mind works, has got a hazelnut, I don't know, farm. I don't know how they grow, where they grow.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, yeah, we've just been supplying Nutella for the last 10 years.
We're
like,
That is incredible, isn't it?
I need to find someone who basically supplies to Nutella. Because then make them your best mate.
Yeah.
Right. My one. I was very lucky to have access to ChatGPT-4. So it's the latest one. It's the new one. It's very clever. And it's got...
That one that we did the poem thing on a few episodes, what number was that?
Three. That was very early days. That was very basic. And it's got a lot of restrictions on it like that. But this one is a little bit more. It's got way more. It's scraping way more information around the world. It's just a bit more cleverer. It's regenerative and it can come up with a lot more things and get involved in a lot more conversations. So I had access to it and I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask it for a little bit of homework. So I asked it to give me a fact. So I've got a fact by GPT-4.
Gupta.
Here we go. This is what it came out as. I said, can you give me a fact, please, that I could use on the Brownload podcast? And it came out with this. One of the most interesting facts I know is about the immortal jellyfish, which is known as Turritopsis dorni.
Turritopsis dorni kulli. That's a song, isn't it?
That's it. So this tiny creature has the unique ability to revert back to its juvenile form after it has reached maturity. Don't start thinking of any of us three on this podcast. When faced with stress or injury, it can undergo a process called transdifferentiation, which allows its cells to transform into different types of cells. By doing this, the jellyfish can essentially start its life cycle anew, making it biologically immortal. However, it can still die from disease or predation. The immortal jellyfish's ability to reverse its aging process is a fascinating phenomenon and has captured the interest of scientists studying aging and regenerative medicine and pyramids.
Boom, boom.
There you go. I'm telling you. And what do we know about what do they say? What does everybody say about jellyfish? It's the closest thing to alien life form because it's nothing like anything else.
I was mind blown by that fact. It's brilliant. ChatGPT-4 is the way forward. So I thought I'd bring it with a bit of AI.
You could have just Googled that, though, wouldn't it?
No, the Google wouldn't have that.
Of course it would.
I can add to it because I just Googled it now. Jellyfish, yeah. No brains, no hearts, no bones. Every other creature, look at most creatures, two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two arms, two back legs, whatever. It's all based on a format. Jellyfish could come and went, nah, mate, no format. We're doing our own thing, like Argos. Just, Tommy, you know, we're going to steal it our own way.
Kedge, you set him off about this alien thing again.
Hell yeah, there's something in there. I'm getting into it. But those are good facts, good stories. And boys, are we going to be in person next week? Well, I miss.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's do it.
He says that with no confidence.
Have a safe journey back from Dubai. And Kedge, have a good week. And everybody else, enjoy your week. We'll catch you soon. Laters.
Laters.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.